Please turn your Bibles to John chapter 8. John chapter 8. And we will read verses 31 through 38. Let's hear God's word. Verse 31. So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed him, "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples. And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." They answered him, "We are offspring of Abraham and have never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free?" Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The son remains forever. So if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed. I know that you are offspring of Abraham, yet you seek to kill me because my word finds no place in you. I speak of what I have seen with my father, and you do what you have heard from your father." And let me continue. They answered him, "Abraham is our father." Jesus said to them, "If you were Abraham's children, you would be doing the works Abraham did. But now you seek to kill me, a man who has told you the truth that I heard from God. This is not what Abraham did. You are doing the works your father did." They said to him, "We were not born of sexual immorality. We have one father, even God." Oh, Jesus said to them, "If God were your father, you would love me. For I came from God, and I am here. I came not of my own accord, but he sent me. Why do you not understand what I say? It is because you cannot bear to hear my word. You are of your father, the devil, and your will is to do your father's desire. He was a murderer from the beginning, and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies." Thus far the reading of God's holy word. This week, on July 4th, we are going to celebrate Independence Day, which indicates that we, as a nation, were once under the rule of another nation. Indeed, the United States of America was once an extension of England. What we now call states were once colonies of England. However, when these colonies were first settled, they were allowed to pretty much develop freely without any interface from Britain. But that changed in 1763. Suddenly, Britain decided to take more control over the colonies. For instance, Britain wanted the colonies to pay taxes to the mother country. Of course, the colonies did not agree with this new rule. They felt that since they were not represented in Parliament, they should not have to pay taxes to the mother country. Consequently, in 1775, a war broke out between England and her 13 colonies. And this war came to be known as the American Revolution. under the leadership of men such as John Adams and Benjamin Franklin and the 13 colonies, or under the leadership of these men, the 13 colonies stood together to fight against Great Britain. Then on July 4th, 1776, the Continental Congress voted to adopt the Declaration of Independence written largely by Thomas Jefferson. And all 13 colonies stood behind this Declaration of Independence. And this document, as its title implies, declares the colonies' independence from Great Britain. Now, let me read the third part of this document, which is a final and formal declaration of independence. Listen carefully, please. We, the signers of this document, we therefore, the representatives of the United States of America in General Congress assembled, appealing to the Supreme Judge of the world for the rectitude of our intentions, do in the name and by authority of the good people of these colonies, solemnly publish and declare, listen now carefully, that these United colonies are and of right ought to be free and independent states, that they are absolved from all allegiance to the British crown, and that all political connection between them and the state of Great Britain is and ought to be totally dissolved. Oh, what a great joy for American people to hear this declaration. And by the way, the estimated population of America during this time was 2.5 million. Imagine hearing this solemn declaration. We Americans are now independent states. We are now separated from England. We are no longer under the power or tyranny of King George III. We are now free. Oh, what a joy. We are now free. Well, this morning, I want to call your attention to the kind of freedom that is far better than the freedom that we have from England. And the kind of freedom that I'm talking about is freedom from slavery of sin. Slavery of sin. And so with God's help, under the theme, Far Better Than Independence Day, I have 4 points. First, we will be looking at our slavery. Second, our salvation or Savior. Third, our service. And finally, our struggle. Slavery, salvation, service, and struggle. So first of all, let's consider our slavery. Now listen, please. By nature, we are slaves to sin. Look at verse 34 of our text, John chapter 8. Jesus answered them, that is the Jews who seek to kill him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin." Quite a strong word, strong statement. Everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin. What does it mean? Well, everyone who is living in the practice of sin, or everyone who is doing sin as a habit, is a slave to sin. Whoever lives a sinful life is bound to sin as a slave is to his master. Sin is his master. He is a bound servant of sin. He does what sin wants. Sin controls him. He does not have control over sin. He is a slave to sin. Like someone who is heavily addicted to something. We all know that there are many different types of addiction. Some are addicted to alcohol. Some are now addicted to Facebook. You spend hours browsing Facebook every day. The moment you wake up in the morning, the first thing you do is check your Facebook. Before you go to bed, Facebook. Some are even addicted to a soda like Coke and Pepsi. Nearly half of our population drink soda every day. And some are addicted to it. And people with a severe addiction do not have control over what they are doing or taking. And their addiction may reach a point at which it is harmful and even deadly or dangerous. And yes, they have said, I don't want to do this again. And yet, the addiction is now controlling them. They have become slaves to that substance to which they are heavily addicted. Romans chapter 6 verse 12 says, and here Paul is speaking to his fellow believers, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body to make you obey its passions or desires or lusts of the flesh. You know what Paul is saying? Believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, you are now free. Free from the slavery of sin. Do not allow sin to reign in your mortal body. Don't let sin control you. Don't let that addiction control you to make you obey its passions. You see, now we obey sin. We obey the desires of our flesh. Your flesh says, do this. Okay, I'm going to obey you. Your flesh says, okay, take this. Okay, I'm going to take that. Even if you know that it is sinful. And then Paul goes on to say, do not present your members to sin or the members of your body to sin as instruments for unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and your members to God as instruments for righteousness. For sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under law, but under grace. Don't use the members of your body, your body parts, don't use them for unrighteousness. Because you are no longer slaves to unrighteousness, but to righteousness, says Paul. 2 Peter chapter 2 verse 9, same tone, same message. For whatever overcomes a person, to that he is slaved. Whatever overcomes you, to that you are slaved. According to John Calvin, our problem is that by nature we are slaves to sin from our birth. We sang earlier a Psalter selection based on Psalm 51. David says, I am evil, born in sin. I sometimes wonder if we really realize that we are evil. Sometimes when we think of the word evil, we think right away of the ISIS. But we are evil too. Born in sin. That's our nature. We are slaves to sin. Paul says. That's our nature. But praise be to God, we have a Savior. And that will lead me to my second point, salvation. And here I want to stress this, that only Jesus can free us from slavery of sin. Look at verse 36 of our text, John chapter 8, verse 36. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. You see, sin is more powerful than we are. Remember, by nature, sin is our master. That's why you listen to that sin. He controls you. You are evil. And so we need someone who is more powerful than sin to deliver us from the bondage of sin. And only Jesus is able to deliver us from slavery of sin. Only Jesus can liberate us from the power of sin. Only Jesus can grant us freedom. The Apostle Paul says in Romans 6, verses 17 and 18, but thanks be to God that you were once slaves of sin, or that you who were once slaves of sin have become obedient from the heart to the standard of teaching to which you were committed, and having been set free from sin, have become slaves of righteousness. Paul says, give thanks to the Lord, because before you were slaves of sin, but now you have become obedient by the grace of God. Now you have become slaves of righteousness, no longer slaves of unrighteousness. That's why really, in this congregation, there are two kinds of people. A slave of unrighteousness and a slave of righteousness. A slave of sin or Satan, or a slave of righteousness or of Jesus Christ. Your master is either Satan or Jesus. And there is no in between. You cannot say, well, I actually have two masters. Remember what Jesus said. You cannot have two masters. You cannot serve two masters. You can only have one master. You see, sin was once our master, but by God's grace, now we have a new master, righteousness. Jesus has redeemed us from the power and also penalty of sin. He delivered us from the tyranny or dictatorship of sin. Before, it was sin that would dictate to us what we had to do. But now we have the righteousness of Jesus Christ telling us what we need to do in His Word. Jesus died for our sin to set us free from slavery of sin. He took your spot. He took your place. He died in your place, in my place, to grant us freedom. It cost Him His life. Your freedom is not really free. Someone paid for it. Jesus did. You know, those who signed the Declaration of Independence knew, they knew very well that signing the Declaration of Independence was extremely dangerous. It was a treason, punishable by death. You wouldn't want to sign that document unless you are willing to die for this nation. And they did, because they were willing to die for you and for me, for American people, for our freedom. And let's translate that to the one who signed the spiritual document of the declaration of our independence from sin. Who signed it? Jesus did. And He signed it with His own blood. He died to set you free. And so don't waste that freedom that you have. You know, it used to be, well, I love history because when I was in the Philippines, that was my major. When I went to University of the Philippines, I was a history major, and I took several courses on U.S. history, world history. In this nation, before I came here in 2006, it used to be that a student was required to read this Declaration of Independence. Now it's gone, it's lost. This is out of our history now. That's why we don't really appreciate now the freedom that we have, because we think that it is free. And the same is true. Sometimes Christian life, we don't value Christian life anymore that much because we have forgotten the one who signed the document, who gave his life so that you and I can be free. So that you and I can be here this morning and worship him. Oh, were it not because of God's saving grace, maybe some of us would have been inside the jail or prison, maybe dead. You would have been doing this and that. Wickedness. Probably you would have been one of the members of the ISIS. But the Lord delivered us. Let us not forget that by nature we are evil, born in sin. And Jesus delivered us from slavery of sin. And Jesus used the gospel of truth to liberate us. And we see that in verse 31. Look at verse 31, John chapter 8. So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in, or who had believed him, "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Jesus says, you claim to be free, but you want to kill me. You are not really free. Because if you were free, you would not want to seek to kill me. And the reason why you are not free is because you are not receiving the gospel, the truth. Because only this truth can set you free. You see, we have many relatives who are perhaps still under the bondage of sin, addicted to, I don't know, heavily addicted. And humanly speaking, you say to yourself, there's no way. There's no hope for this person. He will never change, or she will never change. Don't say that. So long that person is alive, there is hope. Why? Because of the truth. The gospel truth has the power to liberate us from slavery of sin. The truth will set you free. And what we need to do is declare the truth. That's what we need. You don't need to add to it. You don't need to add something to the gospel and make it more appealing and make it more powerful. No! The gospel in itself is sufficient to save sinners. The problem is we don't share the gospel. The problem is we don't sing of the saving mercy of the Lord. And another problem is, many people today do not realize that they are slaves of sin. They may know it, but they try to deny it, like the Jews in our text. Talk to someone at the airport or wherever you are, maybe go to Meijer and just say, "Excuse me, are you spiritually free?" "Oh yeah, of course, but what do you mean?" Almost everyone will claim to be free. No one will say that, no, I am evil. Well, of course, some, but generally speaking, I'm not evil. I'm not born in sin. What are you talking about? I am not under the bondage of sin. Oh, well, in fact, God created me this way. The reason why I'm a gay or homosexual. They don't realize that they are under the bondage of sin. That's why they don't ask for help. John Calvin said, "It is astonishing that men are not convinced by their own experience, so that laying aside their pride, they may learn to be humble." What John Calvin was saying is that, come on, look at your experience, look at your life. How can you deny the fact that you are a slave to sin? And the issue is pride. Sometimes, yeah, we don't want to admit it. Pride. Maybe your problem is not really your addiction, but pride. You're not asking God to help you. Maybe your problem is not really your slavery, but your pride. You don't acknowledge it before God. You're not saying, "Lord, have mercy on me. A sinner, I am evil. Lord, I was born in sin. Deliver me from sin." And of course, the moment you cry out to God for mercy, He will grant you mercy. God enjoys bestowing His mercy upon those who humble themselves, upon those who ask for it. Why don't you ask God to help you? You know yourself. Now let's look at my third point. Service. Service. True freedom is freedom to serve the one who has freed us. The opposite of a slave is not a free man. It is a worshiper. The one who is most free is the one who serves and worships God. How do you know if that person is indeed free? If that person seeks to serve and worship God. That's the fruit. Evidence that that person has been set free indeed. In our text, the Jews, they claim to be free. They say to Jesus, What are you talking about? You're telling us that we are not free? We are free. We belong to Abraham. Abraham is our father. And Jesus says, "Oh, really? Abraham is your father. Well, if you're Abraham's children, you would do what he did. You would not seek to kill me. Instead, you would worship me. You would bow down before me. You would serve me." So the fact that you don't want to serve me means that you are not free. You are not free. If you are truly free, why do you seek to kill me? You see, freedom is not just freedom from restraint. Freedom is freedom to do what God has empowered you to do. Because you see, when God has set us free from slavery of sin, He has also given us power to fight against sin. He has also given us this divine ability to walk in righteousness, to serve Him, to praise Him. That's the ability that you and I are using right now. You sometimes wonder, I've been coming to this church for many years now. And you're sometimes surprised. I've been an elder now for second term, third term, many years, or deacon, or I've been a pastor now for many years. I've been doing this, leading this Bible study, teaching in catechism or Sunday school for many years. Where do you get your ability? Who gave you that ability? God. God. He liberated you from sin so that you could serve Him in righteousness. So true freedom is freedom to serve the one who was set us free. The story is told of a gentleman visiting a slave market. We know that back then, boys and girls, many years ago, it was a common practice to buy and sell slaves. So this gentleman visited a slave market, and he was deeply touched by the mental agony of this slave girl who had been delicately reared and feared that she should fall into the hands of a rough master. So the gentleman inquired her price. "If I were to buy her, how much would it cost me?" He said to the master of that slave girl. And the master said, "This amount, okay, I will buy her from you." He paid it to the slave trader. Then, what this buyer did, this gentleman did, he placed the bill of sale in the hand of that slave girl, telling her that she was now free and that she could now go home. Wow, for this girl, I am now free, now I can go home. She did not go home. The slave girl could not realize the change at first, but running after her new master, her redeemer, she cried, "You have set me free. Will you let me be your servant? Will you allow me to serve you? You are now my new master. You have redeemed me. I want to serve you to the best of my ability." How much more should we serve Him who has redeemed us from sin, death, and hell? You see, when Jesus bought us with His blood, the proper response would be, "Lord, tell me, how can I please you? I want to serve you now." He did not free us for us to do just whatever we want to do. No. But you see, that's the kind of Christianity that we see in many churches today. I am saved, free. After all, once saved, always saved. So I cannot lose my salvation. I can just do this and that. And so Saturday night, they would be drinking, getting drunk, and then Sunday morning, okay, well, let's worship God. And then you do that same pattern all over again. You are not free to continue in sinning. Yes, if you are a true believer, God will still continue to extend His grace to you. But Paul says, "Shall we then continue in sinning that grace may abound?" God forbid. Let us not abuse the grace of God. Yes, God is gracious. He is always merciful. But let us not take advantage of His grace in that context. Let us love Him. Let us worship Him. Just like this slave girl. Let us sing, "Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed through His infinite mercy. His child, and forever I am." And really, this is our comfort, that we have been set free. You know that Lord's Day 1, question and answer 1, what is your only comfort in life and in death? That I am not my own, but belong body and soul in life and in death. To whom? To my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. Listen now, please. He has fully paid for all my sins with His precious blood and has set me free from the tyranny of the devil. He has set me free from the tyranny of the devil. You know, when you read the Declaration of Independence, we all know that that declaration was read in public for the first time, I think 2 days later, like July 6th, I think, when it was read in public for the first time. And that declaration has three parts. The second part is a list of complaints of the colonies, their complaints against the abuse of Great Britain. And listen to one of their complaints. The history of the present king of Great Britain is a history of repeated injuries and usurpations, all having in direct object the establishment of an absolute tyranny over these states. Our repeated petitions have been answered only by repeated injury. A prince, referring to the king, King George III, whose character is thus marked by every act which may define a tyrant or tyrant, is unfit to be the ruler of a free people. You know what they're saying? The signers of this document? We want to be free. We want to be free colonies or free states, independent states. But every time we come to you with this request, you come to us with a response that's not good, with injury. Listen, now that we want to be free, King George is not fit to be our ruler. You see, now that we are free from slavery of sin, Satan is not fit to be our ruler. Sin is not fit to be our master. We are now free. And unless we experience true freedom, there will be no true happiness. Because even in that document, I think this is probably the most famous statement or excerpt from this Declaration of Independence. All people are created equal and have rights to life, liberty, and what? And the pursuit of happiness. If there is no freedom, there is no happiness. I tell you, if you continue to allow sin to reign in your mortal body, you will never, ever, ever experience true happiness. Happiness begins the moment we are set free from the bondage of sin. Now, let me conclude with this short remark, because you might be saying, well, fair enough, Pastor Brian, I am free. The Lord has set me free from the tyranny of the devil, from the bondage of sin. But how come that I continue to struggle with sin? So that's my last point. I added this, although it's not implied or explicit in our text. But let me add this point to comfort you, to encourage you. Because I also struggle with sin. We all struggle with sin. But there's a difference between slavery and struggle. I am not a slave of sin, but I struggle with sin. Like the Apostle Paul, who said, the things that I should not be doing are the things that I do. The things that I should be doing are the things that I do not do. Well, who shall deliver me from this body? A true Christian, a true free man or woman will continue to struggle with sin. You know, interestingly, the war between Great Britain and 13 British colonies started in 1775. And the following year, on July Fourth, 1776, the 13 colonies declared their independence from Great Britain. Even though, okay, listen up please, even though the war was still ongoing. The war did not formally stop until 1783. The American War of Independence lasted for 8 years. Isn't it ironic? They already made that solemn declaration, 1776. July 4th, 1776, we are now free states, even though the war was still ongoing. Now, let's apply that to our spiritual status. God has made a solemn declaration. You believe in my Son, you are now free. But you will continue to struggle with sin until the enemy surrenders. Until Jesus casts Satan into the lake of fire. Until Jesus transforms that sinful body. Until Jesus delivers you from the indwelling sin. The American Revolution lasted 8 years. I don't know your own pilgrimage. If you happen to live for many more years, 10 more years, 20 more years, 30 more years, then the war between you and Satan, the war between you and sin will keep going. But praise be to God, someday God will completely deliver us from this body, from this body. And so, may I ask you this morning, this week, we're going to celebrate our Independence Day. I pray that you will not be among those people who celebrate Independence Day without freedom, without true freedom from Jesus Christ, without true deliverance or independence from the bondage of sin. Isn't it ironic? Many people are celebrating so happy. Freedom, freedom, independence! And yet in the meantime, they are still slaves to sin. There is a far better kind of freedom, a far better kind of July 4th, a far better than Independence Day, and that is freedom in Jesus Christ. And if you are a true Christian, you should have your own Independence Day. Our nation, its Independence Day is July 4th, 1776. What is yours? When did God free you from sin? Let us pray. Lord, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you for the truth of your word which will set us free. And I pray that you would indeed use this word to liberate sinners who remain slaves of sin. And Lord, we also thank you. Yes, we continue to battle with sin, to fight against the devil. We continue to struggle. But Lord, as Romans 8:21 says, the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to corruption and obtain the freedom of glory of the children of God. Oh Lord, we know that someday we will be completely set free from our bondage to corruption, and we will obtain that freedom of the glory of God. Lord, bless us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.